This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. It was the beginning of what was to be an invasion of Japan, the arrival in and conquest of the island of Okinawa way back in 1945, towards the end of World War II.
In American hands, Okinawa would mean the reduction of Japan from a powerful empire to an isolated land awaiting the shock of invasion.
The war ended, but the U.S. invasion never did, and now a U.S. president has landed in Japan.
As Prime Minister Abe indicated, we did discuss the tragedy that took place in Okinawa, and I extended my sincerest condolences and deepest regrets. And the United States will continue to cooperate fully with the investigation to ensure that justice is done under the Japanese legal system.
President Obama is not speaking of an incident from long ago. The president faced local protests and outrage over the rape and murder of a 20-year-old Japanese woman, allegedly by a U.S. military-based contractor in Okinawa, part of a pattern of crimes against the women of Okinawa that has raised tensions in U.S.-Japan relations for years. It's just one of the complications as the U.S. pushes to relocate a Marine base to the mainland of Japan. The latest incident has further heightened decades-long discontent with U.S. military facilities, particularly on the island of Okinawa. Okinawa is a hardship assignment for the U.S. military, but even that is putting it mildly. During the Vietnam era, Okinawa was a staging area for all kinds of weapons, including the toxic herbicide Agent Orange.
There was a habu on this side and a habu on this side where the barrels were, about 120 feet or something like that away from us. And we always wondered what the heck were those 55-gallon barrels with the orange ring around them.
It was mixed 50-50. I was instructed how to do it. I was told that it was Agent Orange. It was a herbicide. It would also help to keep the mosquitoes down.
U.S. veterans Ron Frazier and Joe Sapala, who were featured in the documentary Defoliated Island, Agent Orange, Okinawa and the Vietnam War. It's based on reporting and research by John Mitchell, a British journalist based in Japan, who's author of the book Chasing Agent Orange on Okinawa. I spoke with Mitchell from Tokyo, where he says the wretched stewardship of Okinawa by the United States complicates all kinds of issues between the two nations, from efforts to get Japan to curtail its whaling fleet to changing its currency policies.
Ever since the end of World War II, which was 1945, the American military, they've been poisoning Okinawa's environment. Within a few years of the end of the war, over 24 Okinawans were poisoned during an arsenic poisoning incident on one of the outlying islands. And ever since then, the military has been poisoning the land, the sea, and the air of Okinawa.
And is that because just of the functioning of the base, or is there something particular that's going on at Okinawa that is injurious to the environment?
More than anywhere else in Japan, probably, Okinawa has suffered from American weapons of mass destruction, especially during the Cold War, where we had the war in Korea and the war in Vietnam. The American military, they stockpiled chemical weapons in Okinawa. They put biological weapons there, they put nuclear weapons, and they stored Agent Orange. And since that time, there have been a number of accidents involving these chemicals. During the late 1960s and early 1970s, there were two leaks of nerve gas on Okinawa, which actually hospitalized more than 24 Americans. And then Agent Orange, of course, has been the main killer of people, both Americans and Okinawans in the island.
How would you compare the behavior and the environmental stewardship at Okinawa to similar kinds of concerns in other facilities around the world that the U.S. manages?
There's a lack of transparency when it comes to the American bases on Okinawa. In the United States, there's over 140 areas that are listed by the EPA in need of dire cleaning. But overseas, the American military isn't responsible for checking the bases or for cleaning them up. So because of the Okinawan situation, where it's in a limbo, really, the American military doesn't need to come clean about contamination within its bases. So that means there's only a few ways open to people to find out how contaminated they are. First of all, you can interview whistleblowers from the military, you can use Freedom of Information Act, or you can test the land that's been returned by military bases. And all of those three methods, we found out that there's horrific contamination on Okinawa.
What's the cost, the potential challenge, if the United States were to aggressively clean this mess up on Okinawa and then just leave altogether?
Due to the variety of contaminants. We've got lead, asbestos, dioxin, we've got heavy metals, we've got pesticides. It's going to cost millions upon millions of dollars to clean up these bases. They're looking to return Futenma Air Station within the next few years. And if Futenma's ever returned to Okinawan civilian control, then it'll probably be billions of yen. And also it's probably going to take decades before it's cleaned up. And all of this contamination, it goes back to mainly the war in Vietnam. So during the Vietnam War, Okinawa served as the military's main launch pad for fighting in Vietnam. There was a famous quote by an American general, and he said that without Okinawa, we couldn't continue fighting the war in Vietnam. So everything for the military war machine, it was stored on Okinawan bases. Everything from toilet paper to beer to guard dogs. And also Agent Orange was stored there as well. And because Agent Orange was stored on Okinawa and also it was buried on Okinawa when it was surplus or when it was damaged, the potential costs and also the human health issue, it's unfathomable. Nobody can work it out yet.
And how would you say the environmental profile and this contamination issue has fared given the very, very difficult sort of human rights questions on Okinawa, where Okinawa personnel have actually interacted with the Japanese citizens, and there have been rape cases, and all of that is a very much a complicating factor between the U.S. and the Japanese.
It's a really good question. I think, first of all, the contamination issue, it shows that contamination, it doesn't know any fences. People within the bases and people outside the bases, they've been poisoned by these toxins. We've got American schools within Kadena Air Base that are located next to a dioxin dump site. And from my interviews, we've got over a dozen parents who say their children are sick from dioxin contamination. So to be honest, this issue, it unites both Americans and also Okinawans, because both of them have been equally affected by this. And I think it really shines a light on the Pentagon's hypocrisy as well, whereby the Okinawans, they see that the American military is not cleaning up this contamination. And also the American service members, they see that their own superior officers are denying this contamination as well. So actually it's become a way for both sides to kind of unite together in kind of an ironic and strange way. We've got over 250 American veterans who believe they're poisoned by Agent Orange and Okinawa. We've got Okinawan base workers who believe they were exposed, and also base workers who possibly died from dioxin exposure as well. And then we've got the civilian impact of dioxin poisoning on the island. In the late 1960s, there were 230 school children who suffered burns when they were swimming near a beach that had just been sprayed with Agent Orange on the east coast of Okinawa. So this is a problem that has affected people across generations. It's affected people on both sides of the wire. And the American military, they're denying all of this, just like they deny the effect of Agent Orange in Vietnam.
Is there any expectation that the president will address this? Will he be forced to address it by Japanese citizens?
Obama's going to go to Hiroshima, and he probably will not even visit Okinawa. The Japanese government would actually oppose his visit to Okinawa, because Okinawa has been oppressed by both sides. It's been oppressed by the American government and the Japanese government. It's always been something that they have been, it's always been an island, and they're prepared to sacrifice for the what they see as the greater good. So the chance of Obama visiting Okinawa is very, very unlikely.
John Mitchell is a journalist and author of the book Chasing Agent Orange on Okinawa. Thank you so much, John.
Thanks, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.